I realize that the phrase sales enablement is now baked into our vocabulary as B2B revenue leaders, but I wish if we could go back to the start, we would have named it buyer enablement, because that's really what this is about. How are we enabling buyers to buy? And let's not pretend just because we offer a compelling message, just because we get them to a point where they're committed to a change, that it's easy for them to buy. Our buyers have these matrix complex buying committees they have to navigate to get someone to be able to make a decision, even if everybody internally is bought off on something. Getting consensus on that internal buying committee that they should do something is one thing. Getting through the monster of procurement, which is the sales prevention department in a lot of companies, you'll have buyers that are desperate for your solution, and yet you are months away from actually selling them something if procurement is in the way.
The smartest marketers from all walks of life, in every industry, talking about the latest trends, opportunities, and challenges. Insights from marketing executives at organizations like National Geographic, IBM, and the Baltimore Ravens. And tips from business authors and experts known around the world. Ways to improve your community's marketing, starting now, right here on the Marketing Smarts Podcast.
Marketing Smarts listeners, let's have a very serious question. Are your sales and marketing teams aligned? Are you even trying to get them to be aligned? Should they be aligned? Well, today that's the topic: marketing and sales alignment, insight strategies, and success indicators. And I'm super excited because, well, I get to sit with Matt Hines today. We're going to talk about this topic, what keeps Matt up at night, whether it's a dream or a nightmare. We're going to talk about what we actually mean when we say sales and marketing alignment. Yes, we're going to define the conversation before we get started into it. One of my favorite things that Matt says in the podcast is that you can't spend your traffic and you can't buy a beer with an MQL. This is an indicator of how the conversation went. We're going to talk about the pothole success and, of course, some tips, tricks, hacks, mindsets along the way. Last, we're going to get some words of wisdom from Matt Hines. Matt is a prolific author and nationally recognized award-winning blogger. Matt is president and founder of Hines Marketing with 15 plus years of marketing, business development, and sales experience from a variety of organizations and industries. He's a dynamic speaker, memorable not only for his keen insight and humor, but his actionable and motivating takeaways. Matt's career focuses on consistently delivering measurable results with great sales, revenue growth, product success, and customer loyalty. He has helped organizations such as Amazon, Seagate, Morgan Stanley, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and many others create predictable, repeatable sales and marketing engines to fuel growth. Matt is a repeat winner of Top 50 Most Influential People in Sales Lead Management and Top 50 Sales and Marketing Influencers. Matt is living through the renovation of a 105-year-old historic farmhouse in Kirkland, Washington, with his wife, Beth, and three young children, dog and seven chickens. Now, lucky for you, Marketing Smarts listeners, we didn't listen to the dog or the chickens at all during this podcast. We simply listened to Matt. So let's go ahead and get a word from our sponsor, and then you know what time it is.
Are you looking for great curated content specific to you, the B2B marketer? Want to have fun while also learning valuable information to help you succeed on a daily basis? Then you're in luck. Look no further. This week's Marketing Smarts podcast is brought to you by the Marketing Smarts Live Show. That's right, you can join us live every Monday where we shine the spotlight on you, the community members, share fresh B2B news, several top-notch curated articles to help you be a better marketer, and of course, have tons of fun along the way. If you want even more B2B marketing education with the ability to ask questions and engage with the rest of the audience, tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern for the Marketing Smarts Live Show. You won't regret the additional B2B learning you'll be adding to your life. Now, let's get back to this episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast.
All right, with that out of the way, ladies and gentlemen, Marketing Smarts listeners, it's time to get into the good stuff.
Hey, Marketing Smarts listeners, it's your boy George B. Thomas, and I'm super excited because today we're talking about mastering sales, mastering marketing, but more importantly, we're talking about mastering sales and marketing alignment. Don't tune out yet. I know that this is going to be a very valuable conversation because I am here with the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Matt Hines. Matt, how are you doing today?
Well, I was better until you promised everyone that we were going to master this. And I don't know how much time we have, but I love this topic. I love it when we talk about sales and marketing alignment and we get marketers saying, like, is this really for me? And I'm like, oh, yes, it is. Let's get into it.
Absolutely. So, Matt, one of the things I love to do is I love to start with what might be a little bit of an awkward conversation. We're going to go into either your nightmare or your dreams. Okay, we'll figure out here in a minute. But I really want to know, Matt, what keeps you up at night regarding this topic of sales and marketing alignment?
Almost relative to what I just said, I worry that people don't take this seriously, that they think that sales alignment is not a marketing function. I hear people say like, oh, like, you know, I market into, I want to hear more CMOs say I sell into, even though your job is marketing, your company sells into a market, right? This doesn't mean marketing is subservient to sales. You play a role in the revenue engine for your organization. So what keeps me up at night is marketing teams that perpetuate the vision that marketing is arts and crafts. And we all know that marketing can be the revenue engine of the business on so many fronts. We have an opportunity to lean into that. And I look forward to seeing more and more marketers embrace that opportunity.
Yeah, I think one of the things for me, fundamentally being a salesperson before I became a marketer, I 100% agree with where you're headed and what we're going to lay down on this episode. I do, however, want to level set because, Matt, I understand that people can get confused, right? And so we're talking about sales and marketing alignment. Some people might say that's sales enablement. Some people might think it's sales something else. Some people might think it's marketing something else. So for the rest of this conversation, when we are talking about sales and marketing alignment, what exactly do you mean? Like, how do you, Matt Hines, define the concept of sales and marketing alignment?
Well, it means we're all focused on the same business objective. You can't buy a beer with your MQLs, right? Like, you can't actually spend your web traffic. We have to focus on outcomes that make the company money, whether that's acquiring new customers, retaining and extending existing customers. That is the job of everybody in the company. Instead of saying sales and marketing alignment, if we were to talk about revenue alignment, go get the accounting team involved. Go get the product team involved. Like, go get everybody in the company supporting that effort. And just because sales is there when the PO gets approved or when the contract desk gets signed doesn't mean it's sales' job alone to do that work. Everybody plays a role. And so I think if marketing, and that doesn't mean that the traditional marketing we do, it doesn't mean that our content and our awareness building and our thought leadership efforts and our experience building, that is still just as important, if not more important than ever in a crowded, attention span constrained world. But we have to align ourselves behind the metrics that matter to the business for us to stay relevant, let alone be valuable and instrumental to the growth and health of the company.
Ladies and gentlemen, that might be the first rewind point of this episode. There was so much goodness in there, and you have to understand that foundation. But Matt, I was over here giggling when I heard you say you can't spend your traffic, and better yet, Marketing Smarts listeners, I hope somebody out there creates a tweet, a LinkedIn post. I don't care where you are social. Just make sure you tag Matt in it, tag me in it. I want to see somebody's graphical version of you can't buy a beer with an MQL because that was absolutely magical. So here's the thing. I want to dive a little bit deeper, Matt, and I want to start to think about the crucial aspects of this, right? So what are some crucial aspects that B2B marketers, when they believe what has been said in the first couple questions, that they should start to focus on regarding them being part of sales and marketing alignment?
Well, first of all, it's to know that the journey that your prospects are on is long and complex, goes well beyond just downloading a white paper or sending a lead over to a 23-year-old that's going to shoehorn someone into a 20-minute appointment, right? And so to know that all of our sales and marketing efforts require a body of work over a period of time to be successful and predictable, you have to accept that that is a truth. That our funnels no longer operate in a way where they are split horizontally in the middle. It would be easy if we could go back to the day where we said marketing does the top of the funnel and sales does the bottom. Marketing just generate awareness and leads, sales you close the deal. For most of us in B2B, The funnel is now split vertically, potentially with a horizontal bent. Where marketing may own the majority of the work at the top of the funnel, sales may have the majority of the jobs at the bottom of the funnel. But if we take this to a jobs-to-be-done scenario, who is defining what market we're selling into? Who is going and building awareness of the problem? Forget your brand. Awareness that there is a problem, that the problem is prescient, that that problem needs to be solved. If you can challenge the status quo of your prospects and get them to commit to change, that is a key part of the buying process. There's a job to be done from sales. There's a job to be done by marketing. There's a job to be done by your channel partners, etc., to get that done. So to know that there are these steps to be made, there are jobs to be done, there are people within sales, marketing, customer success, partners, etc., that can play those roles. Break that down into those components of the body of work. Now you're getting somewhere. Not only are you getting somewhere in terms of actually being able to build traction in that process, but you now have a system that can be repeated in a predictable way, driving predictable results.
I love predictable ways and predictable results. I hope you are picking up these sound bites. The idea of funnels don't work the way they once did. This idea that Matt painted of split that funnel vertically. And I want you to just take, you can pause this podcast for a second and think about the difference vertical versus horizontal would make in the sales process as you move forward. And if you have not read the book, by the way, because Matt just flew right by the jobs to be done. If you haven't read the book or know about the jobs to be done framework, that is a great action item for you out of this podcast episode. So Matt, let's have a little fun. One of the shows that I absolutely love is MythBusters. Man, I could watch that. When it comes on like all day, my wife is like, yeah, I just lost my husband. So when we're talking about sales enablement, what are the misconceptions, dare I say the myths about sales and marketing alignment that you would love to use the Marketing Smarts podcast to be like, I want to debunk this junk right now.
I realize that the phrase sales enablement is now baked into our vocabulary as B2B revenue leaders, but I wish if we could go back to the start, we would have named it buyer enablement, because that's really what this is about. How are we enabling buyers to buy? And let's not pretend just because we offer a compelling message, just because we get them to a point where they're committed to a change, that it's easy for them to buy. Our buyers have these matrix complex buying committees they have to navigate to get someone to be able to make a decision, even if everybody internally is bought off on something. Getting consensus on that internal buying committee that they should do something is one thing. Getting through the monster of procurement, which is the sales prevention department in a lot of companies, you'll have buyers that are desperate for your solution, and yet you are months away from actually selling them something if procurement is in the way. So if we think not in terms of sales enablement, I can enable my sales team, give them great collateral, give them great case studies, give them great tools and materials, and that's all important. But if that doesn't make it easier for buyers to buy, if that isn't focused on enabling and empowering the buyer to do their job better, to get where they need to go faster, then all the sales enablement you're doing is only going to be half as effective at best of where it could be. So helping the buyers buy is the primary objective.
All right, I want to go off the beaten path for a second. Before I do, though, Marketing Smarts listeners, do you have a sales prevention department? Maybe we take care of that and get rid of that for the future success that we actually need. But I do want to go off the beaten path for a second, Matt, because you did a little thing to my brain where I'm like, ooh, I need to know how Matt thinks about this thing. Because you reclassified sales and marketing alignment to buyer enablement, right? Or sales and marketing alignment to buyer enablement. How does buyer enablement coincide, align with, cross over what in our industry we talk all the time about customer experience? How are buyer enablement and customer experience related in your mind?
Well, ideally they're one and the same. I mean, buyer enablement is, even though I like that orientation towards the buyer, it's a very wonky term. I don't want to be enabled. Go back to sort of my rant about people saying they want to crush their pipeline. They want to sort of close business. I don't want to be crushed or closed. There's things I want to buy, but that sounds like I'm losing and someone's winning, right? That's not going to help. The customer experience starts the first time they hear from you. I mean, let's be honest, George, like most sales and marketing efforts are kind of like driving by someone's house at 35 miles an hour and trying to throw something in the mailbox. Like, you're going to miss most of the time. And if you get something in there, it better be good. Because, like, literally, I think about my house. Like, I'm in my basement right now. And so there's the mailbox down the drive. And then between the mailbox and my front door is the recycle bin. And so you may get something in the mailbox, but even in making it in the house, if it doesn't catch my attention right away, there's an awful lot of stuff I don't even want to bring in. It's just going right in the recycle bin. Same thing for your customers. What are you doing to earn their attention? What are you doing to create value early on? What are you doing to continually provide value, including and beyond your product and service, that makes them want to come back? This is a little bit maybe trite, but like, how do you go from being interruptive to being irresistible? Even if you haven't sold them something yet, how do you make it so they want to spend more time with you? So if I think about buyer enablement, like, it's better to think about it as a customer experience and better to think about someone as your customer from the very first time you interact with them and build trust, credibility, and differentiation for your brand and your experience.
I don't think it sounds trite at all, by the way. Now, it's interesting because, Matt, you were talking about, like, from my mailbox to my house, there's the trash bin. And my brain immediately went, as B2B marketers in a digital space, I have to ask you, Marketing Smarts listeners, are all of your efforts just being directed to the digital trash bin? That is not anybody's goal of going to work, putting forth all the effort, and knowing they have reached the cylindrical file for the rest of its life. We don't want that to happen. So because we don't want that to happen, what I am super curious about, Matt, because part of the podcast, we like to give actionable, tactical tips, tricks, things like that. So are there any useful, and I'm about to throw all the words at you, Matt, all the words. Are there any useful tips, tricks, strategies, hacks, templates that B2B marketers can utilize to improve their sales and marketing alignment efforts as they move forward after this podcast episode?
All right, here's what I want y'all to do. Either take a spreadsheet, a blank spreadsheet, or just take a piece of paper. And down the left-hand side, I want you to write the titles of the people that are involved in the buying process, right? So we know that there's buying committees involved, different peoples with different roles, different titles. Write down those titles as you know them today. I'm not going to ask you to go do personas, like, we'll do that later, whatever, fine. Write down those titles, at least 3 to 5. And then across the top, I want you to write a couple sales stages. The first stage I want you to do is awareness. The second stage I want you to do is challenge the status quo. And the third stage I want you to do is commit to change. Now, what I want you to do in each of the cells that you now have underneath those for each of those individuals is think about the sentence or the couple bullets that's the message. What are you going to put in front of someone that's going to get their attention and earn their attention with something that sort of is, you know, sparks their brain a little bit? How are you going to challenge the status quo of what they're doing today? And why would they commit to change based on those insights? Here's the catch, George. You are not allowed to talk about your product or service in any of that content. We do this exercise with sales teams all the time, and that's the hardest part. They can't wait to use their product or service as an example of challenging the status quo, as a reason to commit to change. And none of that is necessary to get those messages across the prospect. In fact, the longer you wait in that process to bring up what you sell, the more the customer is committed to that outcome for themselves. And if you can customize that to each of those individuals in the buying process to have a distinct message for each, you've got them more engaged, and you're more likely to build consensus amongst them around that commitment to change down the line. That's what gets them committed to the full sales process.
It's so interesting. My brain, Matt, for some reason, it tries to simplify things as the input is coming in. And what's funny, when I hear you tell that story, I'm like, oh, so Matt, you mean if we actually spend time creating more of a valuable human connection, that the point when we get to the transaction will actually be easier? Oh, that's interesting to me. It's just weird. It's a weird concept to be human and human in your business. And I love this line that we're kind of going down. Now, Matt, one of the things I'd love to do is I'd love to look at what seemingly sometimes are like opposite sides of the pool, if you will, although they have very, very connected pieces. And so let's talk about the hurdles, if you will, the potholes. What challenges do B2B marketers often encounter, or dare I say, fall prey to when they're trying to achieve what we're talking about? And that's just sales and marketing alignment for their company.
So you're basically talking about a pre-postmortem. We've done these programs for so many companies, and everyone's got great intentions, and then you start to execute, and then you reach that trough of disillusionment, where everyone's like, why isn't this working the way we want to? We come up with like almost the same reasons every time. And without getting into the full detail, one of them is just a lack of embracing the complexity of modern B2B sales and marketing. This is going to be more complex. This is going to be more difficult. Engaging in an integrated dance between sales and marketing is going to take more forethought and more process and more systems than you may be used to doing. I guarantee you it will be worth it. I guarantee you it's going to create better outcomes for you. If you invest less money in media and more money in systems and in your data and your processes, you'll be in far better shape. So that lack of being willing to embrace complexity is one of them. And you get up front, you just say, listen, we know this is going to be hard. We know this is going to be a challenge. We know this isn't going to be perfect, but we're going to go through it. The other one is having a more integrated approach for data management. You can't just have some data in your marketing automation platform and some in your CRM and it doesn't talk to each other. If you're going to take a more nuanced approach and a more account-based approach to your marketing and sales moving forward, your systems need to talk to each other, and your ability to manage and update and enrich that data is going to be critical to doing this moving forward. This levels up, George, like the level of sophistication and the expertise you have to have internally around technology, systems, and data increases. It doesn't mean you're deprioritizing creative. It doesn't mean you're deprioritizing story. It makes those things more important, but to make them stand out and effective, you have to have some of those fundamentals and those systematic tools put in place.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I really do think that we've reached the second rewind point of this episode. Again, there's some just great nuggets. In that first one, Matt, my brain, as you were talking, I'm like, oh, I think I remember a quote that actually is what I would call a life principle that might be going along with what Matt is talking about, and that maybe you've heard it, ladies and gentlemen, but if you do what is hard in life, life will be easy. If you do what is easy, life will be hard. If you've never heard that, you can literally go Google Les Brown and that phrase, and it'll get you an entire talk about the idea of putting in the work. As Matt was saying, it's going to be complex. It's going to be more difficult. But if you can get through that, it'll get easier in the long run. The other part too, that second part, Matt, I'll tell you, my brain went to always be learning and always be prioritizing what then you have learned and what you're going to execute. Okay, so that's one side of it. What are the potholes? What are the hurdles? The other side of the pool, or a flip of the coin, if you will, the other side of the coin, I love to help the Marketing Smarts listeners understand what success looks like. What's the bullseye? Where are we trying to go? What are we aiming for? Ladies and gentlemen, I can't throw any more analogies at you than that. So let's just ask the question. How do we determine success in the context of sales and marketing alignment? What are the indicators that we're achieving effective alignment between the two teams? And dare I say, maybe even almost becoming one?
For sure becoming one. And that doesn't mean that you have like one team that everyone reports into. It means you have one integrated team that everyone is engaged doing their jobs to be done to be successful. So I would define success in two ways. One, it's hitting your number. If marketing hits their MQL goal, but sales misses their number, you missed your number. If sales hits their net new number, but the company misses its revenue target, you missed your number. In this tighter market right now, a lot more companies are focused on customer-led growth because net new revenue and net new customers are harder to come by. Be able to make those transitions. Don't have territory wars around, well, I just focus on net new. Maybe your function, maybe your resources should be focused on retention and renewal and cross-sell and upsell right now to hit the revenue number. So first objective is hit your revenue goal. Second is build a system to be able to predictably do it moving forward. I can't tell you how many times, George, I've seen people hit their number in a particular quarter, but have no idea whether they can repeat it. Hey, we had a great quarter. I don't know what happened. We had a great trade show. I don't know what happened, right? What's your sense of confidence that you can do it again this quarter? What are the systems in place that can help you increase reliability, predictability of hitting that number and doing it as your numbers continue to scale? Your ability to create predictable outcomes in a complex sales environment is one of the other objectives of doing this that will continue to help you hit your number over and over over time.
I feel like I'm in a master class right now, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know about you, but build a system. Build a system, make it repeatable, pay attention and adapt to scale on that system and what you can repeat. So good. Matt, as we kind of land the plane here and we let the Marketing Smarts listeners get back to their daily lives, one of the things I love is you're on a journey, I'm on a journey, the listeners are on a journey. During those journeys, we gain these nuggets, these ideas of wisdom. What are some words of wisdom that you'd like to share with the Marketing Smarts listeners And by the way, Matt, it could be regarding sales and marketing alignment. It could be regarding life itself. I'll leave it completely open to you. What are the words of wisdom that you would share?
Well, now that you've broadened that question, I mean, to me, like, it goes back to sort of our why. I used to think our purpose was like predictable growth through revenue responsible marketing. Well, that's not our purpose. That's our niche. That's what we do. But why do we do that? We do that because our purpose, our stated purpose as a business, is to positively impact careers and lives by enabling work that matters. We can positively impact careers and lives by helping marketers be more revenue responsible, by helping marketers create more impact in the business. That creates more upward mobility for them in their careers. It helps them create more flexibility in terms of how they do that. It's not just a forever checklist of getting tactics done, but doing the right things to drive revenue impact. I feel strongly that if we can do the right work and we can focus on work that matters, that impacts our careers and our lives and the stuff that really matters to all of us.
So, Marketing Smarts listeners, did you take lots of notes? I have to ask, what is your hashtag one thing? Your number one execution opportunity after this podcast. Make sure you reach out and let us know in my inbox or on Twitter using the hashtag MPB2B. Also, I have to ask, are you a free member of the Marketing Profs community yet? If not, head over to mprofs.com/MP today. You won't regret the additional B2B marketing education you'll be adding to your life. Hey, listeners, we'd like it if you could leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. But we'd love it if you'd share this episode with a coworker or a friend. Until we meet in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts podcast, where we talk with Tish Millsap about mastering the revenue attribution puzzle, insights for you, the B2B marketers, I hope you do just a couple of things. One, reach out and let us know what conversation you'd like to listen in on next. Two, focus on getting better at your craft each and every day. And finally, remember to be a happy, helpful, humble B2B marketing human, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast.